Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. A little challenge from the Word of God. I'd like to weave in some of some illustrations from the past 11 years, just to kind of bring home some of the points and the practicality of things. But Mark chapter 5, verse 1 and following, it's a bit of a read, but stay with me. I think it's a, personally, Pastor, I like to read large chunks of text, and I work my way through books so that they're learning the books. If you're curious about the preaching style there, and they seem to like that. They like someone just to open up the book and tell them what the Word says. So this evening, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And they," this is the disciples and the Lord, "came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But," I like that little word there, "but, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea." Pardon me, I need a drink here. Verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with a devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.' And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know, the night before they had left, they had taught multitudes on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the region of Capernaum, and they embarked on a boat, actually several boats embarked to travel across the Sea of Galilee. And I think we don't really understand what the disciples are thinking, but I suspect in their mind of minds they thought, "Ooh, time to get a little rest." But I think the Lord certainly knew something else was waiting for them, and they certainly had quite a night. They thinking they would drown in a storm, they discover that the man they're following has control over even the elements and the seas. And it says, "Seas settle at his words." In the morning, they'll be greeted with something else, a different kind of challenge, a demon-possessed man. You know, there's, I think, a faith lesson here. Jesus doesn't tell them what's coming. Oh, isn't that our Lord? Sometimes we get the test and then we get the teaching. That's all right when we walk with him. Indeed, they will see that Jesus has authority over demons. And if you read the rest of the chapter, disease and death. And the Lord says, "Follow me." You know, I think that's the Christian walk, isn't it? And whether it's here in the United States or whether it's following him overseas, that's the call the Lord has for each and every one of us. And it was about 20 years ago. It's kind of funny to look back. That's a big number. I'm still 18 in my mind. And it's trouble when I have children that my youngest is now in her late 20s. This is tough. Like, no, more than that. No, oh, gosh. When in a hole, stop digging. But our call is to follow him. And 20 years ago, we were serving at our church. We thought, oh, we've got it plugged in. I was starting to look at plans on a new house or to expand the house. And we felt a call. And this call was to follow the Lord to another place. And one of the things, if someone's dealing with this, I can just give you, how do you become a missionary? Well, make sure it's from the Lord, but then talk to your pastor. Your pastor has a lot of wisdom. And that's one of his reasons here, is to guide his people. And we went and spoke with our pastor, Pastor Carl Skinner, if you remember him. He's doing well in retirement down in Florida. But he recommended we spend some time with a missionary in Belize. And we did. We went down. Oh, the need's great in Belize. We didn't feel that was it. But we continued through Bible college. And the next to last year of Bible college, we went to Zambia. We had some friends that were missionaries in Zambia and wanted to spend some time. Oh, is that the place? The need's great in Zambia. But we stopped by the United Kingdom on the way back. If you wanted to know how we ended up in the United Kingdom, we just wanted to see some history. As missionaries, we never thought we'd be back that way again, so let's see some history with the kids. And what we saw broke our hearts. Now, we weren't greeted by a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. We were greeted by empty churches all over the place. And when you see 20, 30 empty churches, that causes you to question, and we questioned it, and we started to look into it, and what we found is what you see in the video, a country that's turned away. I like Pastor, years ago you said that country's apostate. They've turned away. You're right. And they've turned away from God. But we're finding in those 2-5%, there's even more. There's more people that are looking. They need someone that'll come alongside them, explain to them the Bible, that there is a God that loves them. Amen. And you know, so the call for us, though, it wasn't immediately obvious. And sometimes that's the way with the Lord, but we keep following him. And we keep learning. And I see in this passage I've read this evening, there's something we can be encouraged by for missions. And if I were to give this a bold title, I would call this passage, this message, The Demands of Missions. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at this. The first five verses, we see Christ brings the disciples right where they need to be. Indeed, Christ knew the needs of this man. And that first demand is this: his condition demanded action. Indeed, in the seeking Savior, Christ knew, and he steps out right where he needs to be. The disciples didn't have a clue. They're kind of along for the ride, if I can say that, but Christ did. Oh, God knows the needs. And I think it breaks his heart. In fact, we see that. God's desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Oh, will we be obedient and follow? And God knows the needs, and here he's the one we're to follow, whether it's across the street or across the Atlantic, will we go? In our church this year, my motto with the chapel is, what is your ministry? We are basically at a stagnation point. We can grow that youth group of 9 to 10 young people to about 15. You have to know your limitations. And I know about 15 kids, 16, they'll run me over flat. 15, I can just can keep this thing in order. If anyone's worked with children here, you know what I'm talking about. There's some people that can handle 30 people. I'm not one of those. So I put the challenge out to the chapel. Who will work with the young people so we can continue growing? Because we need the young people. We need the families. We want to see them converted. But most of all, we have a fairly top-heavy church. And in 10 years, I dare say, 90% of them are gone. Look around our chapels. I don't mean to be harsh. Where are the people we're passing the baton to? That we can invest our lives in passing that baton. The Lord knows, and that's a big challenge. And what's interesting is that with this crazy man, if I can say that, a man possessed with demons comes out and to the Lord. I bet you the disciples were frightened. We don't really get a picture of them. But if you look around the scene, I think they were frightened. But the Lord saw a man that needed help. The Lord saw a man that needed only what he had. He had the solution. I like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:16. He writes this: wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. What does that mean? These things can deceive us. These things can deceive us and say, that person's unimportant, that's a lost cause. I remember going door knocking in our sending church, and knocked on a door, a man came out, tattoos and no shirt on. I'm going, I wonder what the next house is going to be like. My eyes deceived me. That evening he said, I'm so glad you're here. I was just reading, I'm trying to understand the Bible. Will you explain it to me? Amen. Don't let your eyes deceive you. And what the Lord saw here is probably a lost cause. In fact, what do we see? He's chained up and left out in the tombs away from the people. But the Lord knew the man's condition, and it demanded action. One of the things I've taken as a ministry approach in Wales is this. No matter who contacts the church or chapel, now that we've renovated, it's starting to come up on the radar. And people want to use it. So occasionally we'll get calls. And I may get a crazy call. Let me tell you about one crazy call. I'll hear people out, and then I'll tell them no. But it's an opportunity to witness. It's an opportunity to share. And so a woman calls. There's a little bit of a story behind this. I won't go into it. But she calls and said, I'd like to talk to you about joining with your church to promote. It was a Catholic holy site in Hollywell. There's a holy site there. That's why it's called the Holy Well. As if we're going to do that, not a chance. I said, why don't you come by? We'll talk. So she comes by actually to a Bible study. And I give her a couple minutes right before we got started. Tell me, what is it you're thinking of here? And I've got kind of the elderly people of the congregation there. And she goes, well, it's this, that, and the other thing. In the middle of it, she just starts breaking down. And she starts crying. There's more going on here. And what she's talking about with saint this and saint that, that's associated with this well. And I said, you know what? You need a relationship. You don't need religion. You don't need to go to Saint Beno for problems. That's actually the saint there. You need to turn to Christ. And I said, if I could, can I show you in the Bible how you can be saved? And what was one of perhaps the most special moments in our time in Wales, able to lead her to the Lord that night, but a few of the people at the congregation just kind of came at the right time and added a little bit like a right question, and it was wonderful to see her say, yes, that's what I need. And I'd like to say she's got everything all sorted in her life. She doesn't, but what she has now is a peace that passeth all understanding. And she still needs to grow, but she has the Lord. And I'm excited about that. My eyes would have deceived me. I would have said, no, thank you, click. Oh, but if we give people a chance to talk, we have a chance to talk to them. And so what a wonderful opportunity there. And so, again, Christ knows where the need is. And that's why we pray and we seek his direction. And that's what Mary and I have learned in 11 years in Wales as we follow him. He takes care of the rest. And indeed, we struggle with, there's a lot we can be involved with, but we must choose the best over the better. We're resource limited right now. Pray for that. First, we see a seeking Savior. We see a sorrowful man. Indeed, the man had a great need. And I see in this man a lot of what we see in the United Kingdom. He is truly enslaved by unclean spirits. Many people just are pursuing lives that are away from God, and they're just as chained up. He couldn't be helped. He couldn't be constrained. Again, the best the world could do is chain him up and leave him out in the tombs. But we serve a Lord that breaks chains. He can break the chains of addictions. He's able to break the chains of a demonic possession here. And what we've seen in our time in Wales, I think it comes out in the video there in this morning's presentation, there's a lot of people in bondage of all kinds. And you have it in the States. We can become in bondage to stuff. We have people that go to church that think they're fine with God, but they've never made a decision for God. And we find many are suffering from mental illness. It's an epidemic in Wales right now, and the medical system can't handle it. And I just have to think a lot of that is there's people that don't know that there's a God that loves them, and he's real. He's not something made up. He's not something that science has disproved. Oh, my goodness, no. And when people find him, they find that peace just as Emma has. But we have seen people destroy their lives in drugs and alcohol. I've had more opportunities to minister to people with alcoholic addictions over there. And what's actually a good thing, Pastor, over there, in the treatment centers, they still let pastors go in. Parents can't go in when they're in like a lockdown treatment, but their minister can still go in. So praise God, there's still some opportunities to minister in a special way there. But the sorrowful man, he needs the Savior's help. And indeed, that's a challenge tonight. You might be here and you're listening to this, and thank you that you're here on a Sunday evening. It's the best place to be. But you may be struggling with something in your life. Go to the one that can break that chain. That is Christ. Indeed, we get help, we can get counseling from our pastor, but also turn to the Lord first. He's the one that can break chains. It's interesting when we can summarize the last 11 years in the United Kingdom about the spiritual environment. God is government. Let me turn that around. Government is their God. Government, if you probably guessed, it makes a lousy God. And that is what the United Kingdom's problem is right now. Make sure I don't run over here too much. So indeed, the man's condition demanded action. I'm going to turn the corner here a little bit and look at verses 6 through 13. And we're going to get a surprising spiritual lesson here from a surprising source. The demons are going to teach us something. Stick with me through this. Indeed, Christ's presence, the first thing we see, The demons, they know, they've seen creation. They've seen their rebellion against God. That's why they're there. They're fallen angels. And now they see Christ walking on earth. And what do? Fall down. Now, they're not worshiping. There's two ways you can worship. One is the way we come to worship our Savior, in adoration, in submission. The other is groveling before a superior. That's what they're doing. They're groveling before the very Son of God. And they fall at Jesus' feet. There's no bravado. In fact, they know what Paul has written in Philippians 2:10, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And one day, their little lives will be brought to a horrible close. Indeed, they understand the reality of the judgment. That is the first point they teach us. What a lesson in theology. There's no doubt in demons' mind. There's a judgment coming. And they're going to be right there where they don't want to be. And I think as humans, we start to live as if the future is something fuzzy and maybe or may not will ever come to be. But boy, the reality of an appointment with God is one. It's going to happen. Everyone in this room will stand before God one day. Are we ready? And are we living for that day? I pray you are. The next thing we see, though, is the nearness of the judgment. What is it they do? Well, Jesus says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So they're going to come out. They beg for an extension on their pitiful existence. And they beg, of all things, to be allowed to go into the swine. Of all things. And I think what we see here, there's an understanding that time is limited. They'd like to just be in the live in a hog for a bit of time to extend their life. Oof. And I think it's a reminder to us that the gospel can only go out for such a time, and then God's going to call time to a close. And those demons knew that time was limited. They didn't know the time, but they know that time was limited. And our time is limited too. There's a coming a day when that last soul will be reached. And that's the burden God has shown us for the lost. That last one will be saved, and God will call us. But are we reaching? Are we reaching? It's interesting, as we came back and we spent a little time in our sending church before going on the road, one of the men comes up, kind of slaps me on the back. He says, Dave, I know all the rah-rah, but do you still enjoy what you're doing? Yes. Oh, it's what a position, what an opportunity to minister. No, we're not done yet. And you know what? If you're here tonight, God's not done with you yet either. Keep fighting the good fight. A little historical note, this part, we talk about the pigs here. This was at one time Israel, and I see it starting. This is important in America. It's really applicable in the United Kingdom. This was once where the half tribe of Manasseh and maybe even Gad kind of went all the way up to the Sea of Galilee, and they wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. They lost their testimony, didn't they? And God judged them. America, don't lose our testimony as a Christian nation. We're founded on God. Don't let people rewrite that. We're founded on a firm understanding who God is. And we certainly see at this time, we don't hear much about the Jewish culture there. It was probably mostly Gentile. But they were in the wrong business anyways, in hog farming if they were Jews. But what a testimony that's been lost. And there's a man by the name of Luis Palau. He was actually saved by Welsh missionaries that went down to Argentina. You may know the name. He's a little different flavor, but I use him for an illustration. He went back to Wales in the 1970s, some time ago actually, to thank that country that had sent the missionaries that brought him the gospel. And Luis looks around Wales and he sees not much different from what you see up there. It's been going on for a number of years. And he coins this phrase, and I want to challenge you this evening with this. He says, God has no grandchildren. I love grandchildren. We got two of them now. We're spoiled and rotten, and we're going to continue doing that. But as dear as grandchildren are, God has no grandchildren. And why is that? Well, each and every one of us must come directly to God. And we may have godly parents, but our godly parents aren't going to be standing with us in the judgment. Oh, I pray that there's no spiritual grandchildren here, but there's spiritual children. That you make your parents' relationship your relationship. Oh, don't miss that. Don't miss that opportunity. Well, moving on, we see in verses 14 through 17, we see the townsfolk are now responding to this man. And the change demands attention. The change demands attention. What do I mean? Well, we look at the man briefly. We see a changed man. And here in the passage, we see that he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. If we look over in Luke chapter 8, we see the parallel passage before that. Here's a man that was violent. He was naked. I don't know why. Demon-possessed. But after encountering the Savior, sitting, as in learning, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, what a change. What a change that is. And I look at my own life, and all I can say is, I was like that demon-possessed man before Christ came into my life. I could rationalize some really crazy things. But Jesus came into my life in 1981. Indeed, I learned that there is a God that can give us a new heart, a new desire, a new wanta. And just a change. It wasn't all at once. But God, even as I wandered away, he came and sought me and brought me back. Oh, what a faithful Savior we serve. And maybe another little challenge here tonight. You know, if you've maybe said or said a prayer, but it wasn't in your heart. If you is what you was, I'm going to put it this way. If you is what you was, then you probably ain't. I only say this to challenge. Challenge your salvation. It's terrible English, but it's good theology. Because I think we can say things, but is it really from our heart? Oh, make sure that you've turned to Christ with all your heart. People will take notice at our salvation. In fact, one of the things in the United Kingdom, we were talking about this at lunch, we do not have a British accent. I say words a little differently because I want to not distract people when I'm talking. But we don't have a British accent. And the answer is, why? Or the question might be, why? Every new store we go into with the American accent, like off tourist season, what are you doing here? Well, I'm the minister at the Baptist Chapel. It's an opportunity to invite people to church. So these are little things, just little things. But there's a change. And they'll say, well, what are you doing here of all places? And I'll say, well, God moved me here. Maybe hard to understand, but God moved me here. There's a change in my life. And as I followed him, he's led us here to Wales. Let me continue. So we see the changed man, he completely changed. But what's the flip side of this coin? Were the townsfolk changed? No. What do we see? How did they respond? They responded because their business was floating in the Sea of Galilee. Their revenue had been taken from them, and they were in the wrong business again. I mean, again, if they were Jews, I don't believe they were, though. I think they were Gentile at this time. They didn't care about the man. Oh, that crazy man, the guy we chained up and we left out by the tombs. They should have been rejoicing. If only that they didn't have to worry about walking by the tombs again. But no, he's completely healed, and all they cared about was their pocketbooks. And in the end, they're going to ask Jesus to leave. They're going to choose pigs over the Savior. I can't think of a greater contrast than that. Verse 17, and you know what? They asked him to leave. He left. And I don't see a record that he returns to this part of the Levant again. Two things to maybe encourage us. The first is, you know, we won't have success every time we share. I think Pastor or someone said earlier, we maybe invite people to a fellowship Sunday. How many people come? Well, maybe not as many as we'd like. But don't be weary in well-doing. Keep inviting. If the Lord can work a miracle like this to completely heal a demon-possessed man, and their answer is, please leave, don't be surprised if you see the same. But keep on, keeping on, if I can borrow a phrase from Pastor Skinner. There's also a sense here, one of the things we deal with in the United Kingdom is Calvinism, Pastor. I'm not going to go off on that. But the Lord won't force us to follow him. He gives us a choice. And we can choose to follow him now, or we'll still be taking a knee to him in eternity if we reject him now. But he out of love, we follow him now. And out of adoration and thankfulness as he saves us from our sins. Unchanged town people. And then finally, we'll just look at this in verses 18 through 20. Is the man, of course, knows what Jesus has done for him. And the working of Christ in this man's life demands a commission. And of course, I think this is a very easy decision for him to make. The people that locked him up in chains and left him out in the tombs, that's not a good place to be. I want to go with this man that healed me. I believe he's saved at this point in time because he's telling them to share what the Lord had shared. But his vision is to go with Jesus. I think it's a natural thing. But Christ has something else different for him, doesn't he? He says, go and tell them what I did in your life. That's our testimony. We don't have to go to Bible college to do this. What has God done in your life? And that's kind of one of the things we get stuck with on some people that say, well, I've always been a Christian. Really? Oh, pray for us that we have wisdom to deal in those situations. Many Welsh will say that. I've always been a Christian. Really? Never been a time in your life when you realize your sin would eternally separate you from God. But Christ's commission is this. Tell them, declare of the transforming power which works in your life. And I love this. The wrap-up to this is the last verse we read. He says, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know, there's a success when we're in the Lord's will and we're following what he has for us. And there'll be blessing in that. I challenge you. Stay with it. Stay the course here in the States. Indeed, for us, as in bringing this to a close, Christ's message and Christ's dealing here demands, I think, a response. Christians, let's be busy with the Lord's business. I don't know how much time he's going to give us. I'm not a date setter. Absolutely not. All I know is that it's going to be at least 7 years before he brings time to a close, because that's the tribulation. But remember where you were. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn and the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Don't lose that first love when you first knew the Lord, and then take that love to a world that needs to hear it. Go to your friends and tell them what the Lord has done to you and done for you. And tonight you might be here and you might feel like you have those chains. Honestly, we've seen this in the UK. The best they can do in a lot of these situations where people are under mental duress is just to chain them up. And they don't have a Lord they can turn to. Thankfully, we can get into those situations. But you might feel like you're chained up here tonight. There's something on your life that's beyond you. Take it to the Lord. First and foremost, come to him for salvation. If you've never turned to him to be saved of your sins, to have that right relationship restored. And then as it's a lifelong process to bring those things before him, to get the strength to grow in him. Oh, Christ's message demands a response. If you're in chains, things beyond your control, bring it to the Lord. He's the one that can break the chains. Let me close in a prayer. And most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, as Christ dealt in this man's life, that we can see a pattern for us to be faithful, to take a message. Oh, the need is great. The need is great across the street. There's indeed, I believe it's true, the old saying, there's a broken heart behind every door. Lord, help us to be wise and know how to do that, to reach out with the hope in Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, maybe today would be the day that they would understand that God has no grandchildren. Each and every one of us must come to him to find that salvation that's so important in our lives. We must have that to stand before him in eternity. So, Lord, if there's someone here again today that doesn't know you as Savior, oh, that tonight might be the day they stepped out in faith. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the hope that's in Christ and the help that's in Christ. And we thank you for the call that will send us to your world to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, we do it through your power and your spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.